Today is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. For today's Mass, the epistle is taken from Galatians chapter 3. To Abraham were promises made unto his seed. He saith not unto his seeds as to many, but as one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Now this I say, that the testament which was confirmed by God, the law which was made after 430 years, does not annul, so as to make void the promise. For if the inheritance be of the law, is it no more of promise? But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Why then was the law? It was set because of transgressions, until the seed should come to whom was made the promise, being ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Was the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could give life, verily justice should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ might be made given to them that believe. The Gospel is taken from St. Luke, chapter 17. At that time, as Jesus was going to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain town, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off and lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Whom when he saw, said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were made clean. And one of them, when he saw that he was made clean, wept, went back with a loud voice, glorifying God. And he fell on his face before his feet, giving thanks. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not 10 made clean? And where are the 9? There is no one found to return and give glory to God but this stranger. And he said to him, Arise, go thy way, for thy faith hath made thee whole. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. On this 13th Sunday after Pentecost, we are presented with many beautiful liturgical texts. But those beautiful liturgical texts have very little life unless we try to consider them and consider them in relation to our current life, our current status. These masses were composed centuries ago. And still today, we have the same problems of not listening to them. At times, reading them without reflection on how they can influence our lives. So today, we want to make that change. We have the grace to read these beautiful words of Scripture, God's teaching to us, but seeing how it can influence our lives, not the lives of the past, not those of the future, and not those of others, but us. And the beautiful one that we will consider specifically is the gospel. We know those 10 lepers. We know one came back. But what does that mean to me? We have to constantly go back to the lives of the saints. Unfortunately, at times the saints are not given the limelight that they deserve. Because from the pulpit on Sundays and holy days, we often want to preach about the Scripture, about morals, about doctrine. But we forget at times that these doctrines are lived in lives. And due that they were lived in the lives of many, those people are now glorified. We want to take those lives and see the beauty of them and see the reality of them living this gospel, which we can find very simply. and then try to apply it closer to us. These words of Scripture have very little relation to us unless we bridge that gap of seeing someone else live it in the concrete. Let us turn firstly to St. John Hughes, and all of you know today is his feast. Do have a great desire and devotion to saints. Do look at their lives. But today, when we think of St. John Hughes, whose feast we want to honor, although we don't have his mass, we want to preach about his life, because God has given him as an instrument to us. And unless we take that instrument to consider, and as a baby, put it into our mouth and look at it many different ways and put it back in our mouth and taste that instrument, we will not see the utility and most likely not go back to it. But if it tastes good, most likely will we return to it. St. John Hughes, like us, was conceived in original sin. He also was born with original sin, and he lived his life with the wounds of original sin, just like us. But he was one who became a priest. But he did not stop there. He founded an order of priests. But he didn't stop there. He founded a congregation of religious sisters. This man did so much. And why did he do so much? Where did he gain his strength? We can find it in one particular place, which again will apply to us here today. He gave gratitude. Because he was a man who had the wounds of original sin, he, like you, confessed of his failings. And due to him constantly confessing his sins, understanding his weakness, and trying to overcome those weaknesses through the practice of virtue and the seeking of advice through the priests, as was mentioned, necessary in today's gospel, giving gratitude and thanking God for those graces, he only could do but try to imitate those priests to whom he went for the grace of God. It was a natural consequence that after giving gratitude for the graces he received, he wanted to give his life to God, because he found no greater gift than his own life that he could give for all the graces that he had received. He is an example to follow. And after giving so much gratitude and giving the greatest of his own gifts, he received more graces and more talents and more opportunities. And that is why, not only being a priest of God, he was a founder of two religious orders. And as you might know, especially you adults, after investing so much, so many other souls were able to prosper. One man and so many souls saved. Let us turn to another saint, a saint of a Japanese nationality. He was one who went to his priests, again, an imitation of today's gospel. Our Lord says, go to the priests, and he went, and he said, I want to become a priest. And they said, no, you don't have the talents. You're not fit to become a priest. But he persisted. He waited. Of course, he was obedient and kind and humble, respectful. And he went back and said, I would like to become a priest. And they said, not now. We don't want Japanese priests right now. Talk about the offense. Talk about the ridicule. But he received that with a humble heart. And he went back and said, I would like to become a priest. They said, no. Well, he didn't take the no. And he went directly to Rome. And he walked from Japan to Rome. Pilgrims, are you ready to walk more? This is a Japanese person, a man who was born with original sin, but who had a goal in his mind to do something for God, not for self. And he did it. The story's not ended. He went to Rome and he petitioned Rome itself, the highest authority in the church who can grant anything necessary for the good of souls. And during the course of his travels and during the course of his life when he was trying to become a priest, he didn't waste his time. He studied, he learned, and Rome was so impressed at his knowledge and at his zeal that they ordained him in 6 months after meeting him. He went, after a few years of priesthood, back to Japan. It took 24 years from petitioning to be a Japanese priest in his own country to then returning to Japan as a full-fledged priest. But that is when time of persecution was there, and he was taken prisoner and put in a torture chamber. And he was tortured by one who was an apostate priest, one who himself abandoned the faith because of torture. So this priest, once a priest, always a priest, but an apostate in this case, tortured him directly because he knew what he needed to pressure on. They put him upside down into a pit. They slit his cheek and his forehead to allow the blood to flow. And above his feet, which were above his head, they put a crucifix. And all he had to do was touch that crucifix with his feet, and they would release him, because they would take that as a sign that he denied the Catholic faith. Just imagine, we flinch at the smallest pain. We flinch at the slightest excitement. And they knew that, and so they put a crucifix right above his feet. And if they flinched and touched, they would release him because he had abandoned the faith. He died a martyr. He died for God. But before giving his life, he gave his whole being through the religious life. He was a man who gave gratitude for those things that he received. Tomorrow's feast is Saint Bernard, and he's famous for a quotation which, if you have the divine intimacy, is in today's chapter on how we must give gratitude to God, and through doing so, we receive more graces. But if, on the contrary, we forget or neglect to give gratitude for those things we have received, God will withhold more graces because he counts those graces you already received as void. Gratitude is something very, very important. And so let us, who are those lepers, who have been cleansed by God, by going to a priest, by even being obedient to go to priests through the sacraments and through advice. And many of you pilgrims yesterday and on Friday went to the priests, which was quite extraordinary, quite beautiful, and a great example to one another. But how many lepers return to give gratitude? 1 out of 10. Dear faithful, this is the reality in which we live. This is the gospel in concrete. We, the modern men, traditional Catholics in 2018, are those who most likely are the 9 who do not give gratitude to God. Not because we're terrible, because we're distracted, because we're so grateful, we think, for having been cured. We're so busy that we don't give gratitude. Because as the scripture said, the one who gave thanks was a Samaritan. None of us are Samaritans. We're the chosen ones. The Samaritan in the gospel is the one who was not chosen, is the unbeliever. The people in Denver who we walked past yesterday, they're the Samaritan. And unfortunately, they are often the ones who become religious. Oftentimes, if you ask the priests and religious their background, they were the poor sinners. They were the ones who were wayward. And they went on retreat. They received a sermon. They went to a confession. And after that, having been cured from such grave maladies, they gave thanks. And what better thing could they do than to offer themselves as a laborer in the vineyard, which is so vast? But we know in tradition we have very few vocations at large. And a lot of the vocations we have are those who were Protestant, those who were Novus Ordo. But in our good, large families, we don't have many vocations. Today we can change that and make sure we follow the example of that Samaritan and that Samaritan who changed, St. John Hughes who changed, this Japanese man who changed, and we today can change. A young man said to me that he wanted to become a doctor. And the only reason he wanted to become a doctor is because he had an operation and had to do physical therapy. And he was so impressed by this doctor, the kindness and the intelligence and the utility of this doctor to help people in their bodies. He said, I want to be you. I want to help people. I'm going to imitate you. I'm going to give gratitude for your help to me by helping others. Do we not see a correlation with this young, traditional Catholic boy and us in religious vocations? Are we not grateful for the sacrament of confession? Are we not grateful for the holy sacrament of the Eucharist, the Mass, extreme unction for our grandparents, baptism for our children? Are we not thankful? Dear children, and dear parents, realize that this is the greatest act of gratitude, and there are 10 people cured, and one often gives gratitude. Let us change that number, and we can do so if we do 2 things. Firstly, after confession, thank God. Oftentimes, people do their penance and go their way. How many of you ask yourselves, and during Mass, think truly, how many times have you thanked, added your own prayers, add your own penances, to thank God for having been cleansed from sin? If we took a poll, most likely 9 out of 10 do not thank after confession. So do that. Start. Spend that extra 3 minutes in the church just to thank Our Lady, Saint Michael, the Holy Ghost, and the priest for having forgiven you your sins. That practice in itself will change young souls to give themselves to God. And the second thing that you can do is to attend more Masses. If you only attend Masses when you're obliged, you don't necessarily have the love of the Mass. You may be unable to come to Mass, certainly, due to distance and work and family, certainly. But those of you who can go to extra Masses, and if you don't, ask yourselves if you love the Mass. If you love God and want to give gratefulness to God, the best way is through the act of thanksgiving at the Mass. And so therefore, you parents, try to give the opportunities to your children, and you young adults, try to carve in your life 1 Mass a month, 1 Mass a week, 1 Mass a year. That sounds so ungrateful. But God knows your intentions. He knows what you're giving. And the little you give, God will flood you with more. So start with that. go to an extra Mass just in thanksgiving for that which you've received. Thank God after confession, and you will be amazed at how many more vocations we have. But do not take no for an answer at times. That Japanese martyr was one who was persistent. Of course, he was respectful, but he knew that he wanted to give more, and so do you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.